Loving brothers and sisters, members of branch churches and local sanctuaries, all believers and viewers in the world who are attending this service through internet. After the saved souls spend their time in the Millennium Kingdom with our Bridegroom, the Lord, there will be the Great Judgment. I will tell you about how it will be carried out today. Today's passage is the scene of the Great Judgment that the Apostle John saw and recorded. Revelation 20:11 says that John saw the great white throne and him who sat upon it. He saw God, who is the judge of the great judgment. Here, because the light coming from God the judge was so white and light, he said it was a great white throne. He called this judgment the great white throne judgment, because God carries out this judgment while sitting on the great white throne. What do you first feel and think of when you think of this great white throne judgment? There shouldn't be anybody who is worried or who is afraid of this judgment. You should rather be full of hope and expectation, thinking what rewards you will receive. The great judgment of our God is not biased or done in favor of the strong ones, but is absolutely fair and precise. I hope you will remember that there is a great judgment like this and live a more faithful life, not only before men, but also more faithfully before God. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that by doing so, the day of the great judgment will be a most honorable and joyful day for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in July 1982, when I was praying for the opening of the church, God showed me a scene of the great judgment. At that time, there were the Lord and Moses in front of the throne of God, and those who were playing the role of jury were lined up around the throne. So in previous sermons and in the books, I explained that God is very accurate and without error in His judgment, and yet He conducts the final judgment with the Lord playing the role of the advocate with His love, and Moses playing the role of the prosecutor, and those who play the role of the jury. Yes, this explanation is correct. I did not count the number of the jury, but I estimated at about 24. But as I have been going through the spiritual training, God the Father has been explaining to me about the spiritual spaces in more depth, and He has let me know more about the great judgment too. He has let me know about the place where the judgment will take place and also about the proceedings of the judgment. But He also let me know that He was going to explain about this in more depth in the Revelation lecture series. We cannot understand the spiritual realm with the concepts of physical space. We first have to understand about the spiritual spaces. Therefore, you should not try to understand the contents of this sermon with the concept of physical space, or you may misunderstand it, or you may not understand it at all. Now I'll tell you about the great white throne where the Father God will sit and conduct the judgment. God's real throne is located in the fourth heaven, and there is also another throne at the apex of the third heaven and peak point of New Jerusalem. God usually stays in the fourth heaven, but there is a place for Him to stay when He comes down to New Jerusalem. Even the kings on this earth always stay at their palaces, but when they went somewhere else for inspections or rest, they have another special places to stay. The king of Dubai has many his personal and special villas in his country. He has a few wives, and each of the wives has personal palace. So there are not a few palaces and special villas for the king and his wives. The king drops at the palaces or villas as he wants to. The palaces or villas are so big and huge. Those big and special villas and palaces are found in China and Israel. In the same way, the real and original throne of God is located in the fourth heaven. But when he moves to another place due to a certain reason, there will be another throne for him. The original mansion of our Lord is in the fourth heaven, but the third heaven also houses his personal and huge residence. The residence as at the fourth heaven is compared to that of the third heaven. The residence of the fourth heaven is his original home. Also, the throne does not just mean that it is a chair. It is a much wider concept, including the throne itself and the space around it. The throne of God the Father in New Jerusalem shines with the light of glory and is surrounded by a rainbow, which gives peace and fullness of the Spirit to those who look at it. But the great white throne where God will conduct the judgment has a very different meaning. Can you imagine how wide and huge the throne of God is in the third heaven? The residence of our Lord Jesus, namely his castle, is 19 times bigger than the South Korea. In his residence there are houses for his disciples and women who followed and served him during his ministry on the earth. Those prophets at the first ranking of heaven will have their residence between the castle of our Father God and those of our Lord and the Holy Spirit. Those prophets' residences are not inside of the residences of God, the Trinity, but are located separately. Their residences are like big castles. Even the saved souls will feel just great authority from the throne that they will not be able to lift their heads up. Those who are not saved will fear and tremble greatly looking at the throne. Brothers and sisters, where is the great white throne judgment going to take place? If you have read the book Heaven, Volume 2, you already know there will be a temporary throne located outside of New Jerusalem to conduct a great judgment. Where is this place that is outside of New Jerusalem? It is in this first heaven on this earth where we are living. In the last session, I told you that at the end of the Millennium Kingdom, the evil spirits that had been confined in the bottomless pit will be set free to tempt the men of flesh on this earth, and the men of flesh will try to attack the castle where the men of spirit will be living. At this time, God will bring down fire from heaven to destroy these men of flesh, and the evil spirits will go to either the lake of sulfur in hell or to the bottomless pit. When the judgment for the evil spirits is done this way, this earth will be quiet and peaceful again, and then God the Father will come down to this earth to conduct the final judgment. When He created the heaven and the earth in the beginning, our Father God came down to this earth along with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, just as said in the latter part of Genesis 1-2, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. When He made this earth on which the human cultivation would take place, God Himself came down to earth and searched what the earth needed and how He would make them, and He did make them with all His care. God the Trinity came down to this earth at the beginning point of human cultivation and will also come down to this earth again at the time of the final judgment, the end of time of human cultivation. At this time, the Lord has the form of the Son of Man, and God the Father will put on a form for the period of the great judgment. The great white throne judgment will be conducted by God the Trinity, who will come down to this earth in a certain form. Through this, we can understand that the things taking place in the judgment are very real, and everyone will be able to see and hear everything that happens. God sometimes wears His form, but sometimes does not. When He enters the fourth heaven, He does not put on the present form, but hovers around there with the sound and light. Just after the great white throne judgment, Father God will call His two sons and all the first ranking of prophets into the fourth heaven. At the time, God will wear the human likeness. Of course, when God comes down into the third heaven, He appears with the invisible form. Like that, God puts on His visible form if necessary and does not wear the human likeness. All three of God, the Trinity, will put on a form, and even the spirit and souls of those who will be judged will have their bodies to stand before the judgment court. The saved souls we have already received the resurrected body at the time of the Lord's coming in the air, and even the souls who will have been suffering in the Hades will have appropriate bodies to receive their judgments. In today's passage, verse 13 says this about it: "And the seas gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds." It says that the sea and death and the Hades gave up the dead which were in them. First, sea spiritually means this earth, namely the world. The bodies of those who die on this earth will be buried in the earth and go back to dust. And when the great judgment comes, the sea, namely this earth, will give up the bodies of those who died on this earth. So even those who are not saved will have their spirit and soul with their body to make it complete with the spirit, soul, and body. But the spirit of those who are not saved have only the character of the quickened spirit. It is just a dead spirit that cannot communicate with God at all. Also, the body that we have at the time of great judgment will not be a spiritual body like the bright resurrected body. It is just a body that will not perish or decay forever. The resurrected body of each person will shine different lights according to the measure of his or her spirit. But those who will fall into hell will shine no light at all. For those who are not saved, the feeling of receiving punishment just in spirit and the feeling of receiving the punishment along with the body are completely different. Those who have not been saved and fallen into Hades are tormented now and will suffer all kinds of severe torments during the Millennium Kingdom. These severe tormenting pains are totally different from those pains that they will have to receive in the fire of hell after the great white throne judgment is held and they have put on the body. The pains and torments in hell cannot be compared with that of Hades. Those souls will have to suffer those excruciating torments with any break for 1,000 years, but they'll be able to take a break just one time, just after the great judgment will be held. While the judgment is being held, the torments stop temporarily. After that, the souls will have to suffer unbearable pains and torments in the fire or sulfur of hell forever and ever. When they have the body, the feelings are more real, and the pain experienced is greater, too. After the great white throne judgment, they will fall into the lake of fire or lake of sulfur, and the punishment itself there is much more painful than that of Hades.
아무리 형벌을 받아도 이 불못이나 유황못에 빠져.
So the punishment itself in the Hades.
형벌 자체도 고통이 더 큰 형벌이지만 몸을 입었기 때문에 상대적으로 느끼는
is less than the punishment in hell. And on top of that, they will feel more pain because they will have the body now. Next, what does it mean by saying that death will give up the dead? As said that the wages of sin is death, those souls who are not saved will reach death, namely eternal punishment as the wage of their sins. But before the final judgment, they will have been receiving preparatory punishment in Hades. And when these souls are set free for a moment from their punishment, the passage speaks of this time as the death giving up the dead. These people can have a short rest being set free from the punishments of Hades. But when they think about the punishment they will receive after the final judgment, their heart will be so nervous, horrified, and terrified. Why will their heart be filled with that fear and horror? The torments that they have received for the last 1,000 years are so appalling and dreadful, but they will be much more nervous and horrified because they will be thrown into the fire or server of hell. If the people have lived in evils and cheated others, their hearts will be filled with fear. Actually, they are afraid that they should be thrown into the lake of sulfur rather than into the lake of fire in hell. The lake of sulfur is totally different from that of fire of hell. The lake of sulfur is 7 times hotter than that of fire in hell. In the lake of sulfur, the souls cannot breathe, nor speak, nor move their bodies. It is beyond your imagination. They will have to suffer such intolerable pains and torments that they cannot move their bodies at all. You and I have never experienced it, so we cannot imagine such a severe pain as we cannot move at all. If we believe, we can go to heaven. If you don't believe, commit sins, you go to hell. In hell, there are so dreadful torments. But has any of you not read the book Hell yet? Has any of you not read the book Heaven yet? Then it's weird. I can't understand. Those books explain the life in heaven that we will have forever and the torments in hell. But if you haven't read them yet, I can't understand. How can you manage your believing life without reading them? You must long for this kind of sermons about heaven. Wondering how I will explain next, you must be concentrating on the messages without missing any words. Even for secular dramas, people wonder how it will proceed next. If a movie is fun, people wait for the next series. They even pay much for it. They don't care if it's expensive or not, but they pay to watch it. But you don't pay money for this. You must be waiting for the next session, right? I have neither deleted nor added something when I preached the messages on hell and heaven and wrote the books, the same messages. I have done just as Father God has explained to me. If I had deleted or edited something, I'll be accused to be guilty of lying and God will not forgive me. It is such a business as I cannot dare to do at all. I cannot do it because of the fear of God. I have written the books of hell and heaven just as God explained to me, and I just tried to describe the life that people will live in heaven or hell. You have experienced the almighty power of our Father God. When everyone has been judged at the great white throne judgment, you will shed tears of thanks. I have told you that you will shed special and thankful tears 3 times when you enter heaven. When will you shed tears of thanksgiving for the first time in heaven? You will shed the first tears of thanksgiving at the 7-year wedding banquet. When will then you shed the second tears? When the great judgment is finished, you shed tears of joy and thanksgiving. You express your heartfelt gratitude with tears, for you are saved, enter heaven, and receive rewards for your deeds of faith. Those who will cast into the fire and sulfur of hell will say the same thing. They will not call the person who has taught the guide and guided them on the earth our shepherd. They will regret that they have not obeyed their guidance pastors. They will remember that the pastor taught them not to sin nor to commit the unpardoned sins at all, but to cut off the lusts of the world and live according to the word of God. But they did not obey the words of God and the pastor's teachings, but neglected the word and defied them. They did not practice the will of God, so they will be cast into hell through the judgment, a great judgment. No matter how hard and eagerly they will try to regret, it will be no use at all. They will cry saying, "Why have I not obeyed the pastor's teachings and words? Why have I doubted the word of God?" With this fact, how can I dare to delete or add something in preaching the message about heaven and hell? I am delivering the same messages the Father God gave me. If you believe this message and obey it, it will be a blessing to you. But if you do not believe, you will regret forever and ever. I wish for none of you to be thrown into hell. I hope none of you reject the Lord and His word, because His word is not agreeable with your knowledge. The word of God is never agreeable with human thoughts and knowledge. The sun and the moon stayed still. The Bible records the fact, but who can believe it? When I pray for the sick from this podium, so many people are healed all over the world through the internet and via satellite. Who can grasp this with their knowledge and science? Lastly, what does it mean by the Hades giving up the dead? We can understand this only when we understand the concepts of the spiritual spaces. So please listen carefully. Because it says that at the time of the great judgment, the Hades will give up the dead. We may feel as if the souls who are not saved and are in the Hades will come out to this earth. But as also written in the book Heaven 2, they are the sinners who are not able to face God in judgment. So they will be judged in the Hades itself. Again, it is those souls who are not saved that will stay in the Hades and be judged there at the time of the great judgment. Also, those souls who died and were saved while they were in the fatal stages and stay in the upper grave will be judged in the upper grave itself. And one important thing here is that at the time of great judgment, the spaces of the first heaven, the upper grave, and the Hades will open, and they will become like one single space. No matter distance that they are away from this place for the great judgment, they'll be able to see everything with their spiritual eyes. The upper grave and the Hades are certainly spiritual spaces, but unlike the second, third, and fourth heavens, they overlap with this earth. So when the spiritual gates to the upper grave and the Hades open in this physical space, it will look like they existed together on this earth. The same goes for UFOs. The second heaven overlaps with this earth. When its door opens in a moment, the UFO appears through it. A scientist pronounced that the materials for the Egyptian pyramids may not be from the earth, but from another world. He said that the pyramids had been built up of the materials so that we cannot find on this earth. I have received the documents explaining his theory, but could not read the letter to the audience because of the limit of time. You know, you could see the existence of the second heaven even on this earth when the door to that space was opened. For example, the clouds that suddenly appear and disappear immediately belong to the second heaven. But if you just see them without realizing it, you may just think they belong to the first heaven. Likewise, at the great judgment, the spaces of the Hades will open, so the beings in the Hades will appear as though they are standing in the judgment court. But as the darkness cannot intrude into light, even though the gate to the Hades is open, people there cannot come out to this earth. As I have often told you, when I stayed at my prayer place, the sky was so clean and pure. There was no cloud at all, but in an instant, many clouds appeared. The clouds were so beautiful and pure. The beautiful clouds began to disappear instantly. We saw that wonderful sight on the cloudless sky together. Such beautiful and clean clouds appeared and disappeared in the very time. When we stopped looking at the sky and talked with one another, the clouds were not seen anymore. But when we lifted up our heads and looked up at the sky, the clouds instantly appeared. What was more interesting was that when we needed to talk about some topics and turned back and started discussing the clouds in our sight disappeared, and other clouds appeared behind us. The same thing repeated. When I said, maybe the clouds behind us have already disappeared, people turned back and looked up at the sky and were surprised to see the clouds unseen. We have many times seen and experienced the same thing at your homes and working places, but some of you still doubt this fact. They may ask how that wonder can happen. As the darkness cannot intrude into light, even though the gate to the Hades is open, people there cannot come out to this earth. They will be in the Hades, but because the spaces are open, they can physically see the setting of the great judgment, and they will also be judged as if they were standing in the court itself. The souls who are not saved will be located at the left-hand side of the God's throne, while those who are saved will be located at the right-hand side of God's throne. This placement was spoken by Jesus in Matthew 25:31-46 when he was talking about the great judgment in a parable. He compared the righteous who were saved with sheep and those who were not saved with goat. He said in verse 33 that the sheep will be on the right and the goats will be on the left. God the Father can judge without any error, even if he does it by himself. But when he conducts the judgment, he gives authority to Jesus and the Holy Spirit also. In the Bible, we can find some verses from which we can see that the Lord and the Holy Spirit also have the authority of judgment. For example, John 5:27 says, He gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Concerning the Holy Spirit, John 16:8 says, And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Likewise, Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit will also participate in the judgment with the Father God. Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit will guarantee that the judgment of God the Father is truly just. It's because Jesus came to this earth in human body and experienced everything that man can go through, and the Holy Spirit will also knows the heart of man very well. For example, when God the Father made the judgment for one person as to which dwelling place he will go into and how great the rewards he will have, it will be according to the standards of nine fruits of the Holy Spirit and the Beatitudes. Then the Lord and the Holy Spirit will speak about it once again with their... But this is not the end of judgment. God the Father alone is very accurate. And it is also very accurate because the Lord and the Holy Spirit speak once again, and there is no more step to make it very sure. I told you that there is a rank in the heavenly kingdom in the third lecture of this series. And the rank of first, second, third, Elijah, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, they they will help the great judgment of God, the Trinity. Now for them to assist the great judgment, when will they have been judged? They will not be judged before the judgment, but they will be exempt from judgment. For Elijah and Enoch, the fact that they were taken alive itself proved that they are not be judged. Abraham was the father of faith, and Moses had the greatest humbleness and meekness on the face of the earth, and he conversed with God like a friend with while he was on this earth. Some may think Moses also died, but in Jude 1:9, we see that the archangel Michael disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses. From this, we can see that Moses' body was also taken to heavenly kingdom in a different way. The archangel Michael disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses. The devil argued that the body of Moses should remain on this earth, but the archangel Michael rebuked the devil, saying that the body should be lifted up into heaven. This dispute happened because Moses killed an Egyptian in all time. Michael explained to the devil that Moses had been wholly sanctified through 40 years of trials in the wilderness, and another 40 years of ministry for the people of Israel in the wilderness. So God recognized him and confessed that Moses was more humble than any other person on the face of the earth. It means that Moses had no sin anymore. That's why when Jesus went up to a mountain along with his three disciples, Moses appeared before our Lord Jesus along with Elijah. Moses and Elijah came down from heaven to meet Jesus. The other people who passed away were staying at the upper grave, but Moses and Elijah came from heaven because they had no sin anymore. This explanation recorded in the book of Jude supports the fact that Moses had no sin anymore and his body was lifted up into heaven alive. Our Father God gave me very detailed accounts of these mysteries so I could preach about them. Abraham was also qualified to be taken up alive into heavenly kingdom, but to give Abraham the duty of take charge of upper grave, God allowed his physical death on this earth. Abraham was not taken up into the kingdom of heaven, but into the upper grave because he had to take care of the upper grave. Likewise, Elijah, Enoch, Abraham, and Moses are recognized for their holiness and perfectness. So they receive all the glory before the great judgment, and they will have the perfect heavenly bodies. They received all the glory and rewards for them before the the great judgment, and will have the perfect heavenly body. However, they will not have gone into their personal dwelling places before the judgment. They will stay around the throne of God or come to this earth by God's will, helping with God's work. Also, at the great judgment, they will help with the judgment beside the throne of God. Elijah and Enoch will not say much, but by the fact that they are the best fruits of human cultivation, they become the standard of judgment. Abraham will assist from the standpoint of faith, and Moses will assist from the standpoint of the law. They will testify to the degree of the person who is judged has obeyed the word of God and borne fruits. These prophets will assist the judgment in this way. Before, I explained that Moses will play the role of the prosecutor because he will elaborate on the judgment in the viewpoint of the law. When this church was founded in 1982, God showed me the wonderful scene of the great white throne judgment on the first week. He only showed me the vision but did not explain about that. This time, I can preach about heaven in very details because God explained to me. But at the time, I just tried to understand the vision within the limitations of the strength and wisdom I had possessed in Christ. On the right throne of God, our Lord stood and vindicated the children of God with love. He will say that they will be being forgiven through the blood of our Lord. Moses will play the part of the prosecutor because he had received the law from God. Moses will play the role and many jurors will stand beside him. I thought that 24 elders are the jury. Well, next week I will explain in detail about that matter. But the great judgment will not be done just by God the Trinity and the four prophets. God the Father will also have the jurors to make the judgment very carefully because it will decide eternal punishment or eternal life for the souls. The great judgment will be made perfect, including these jurors. Then, who will be the ones who will play the role of the jurors, and how will the judgment be conducted after this? I will tell you about it in the next session. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to sum these things up, I told you that the great white throne judgment will be conducted on this earth, and the judge, the Father God himself, will come down here having a certain form. On the right side of the throne of God will be saved souls, and at the left side of the throne of God will be those who are not saved. You must not have the misunderstanding of this. You must not try to understand this spiritual scene with fleshly knowledge. The souls who are not saved will not come before the throne of God, but they will still actually stay in Hades. But because the gate through that space will be open, they will feel as if they are in the same space. On the lectures on Genesis, I have already explained that God did not come down to the Garden of Eden, nor did walk with. He did not come down to the garden, but He divided His spirit came down. His divided spirit came down to this earth. God was in the fourth heaven and opened the gate for the spiritual space and then taught Adam through His voice. The great judgment will be carried out in this setting, and God the Father will not conduct it by Himself, but He will also give God the Son and God the Holy Spirit the authority too. He makes them judges together with Him. At the law court, we find that three judges hold the lawsuit. The great judge is in the center, and the two others support him or her. Also, there will be the four prophets who will be exempt from the great judgment who will assist in the judgment to make him more perfect. Furthermore, God the Father will have the jurors so that the judgment will have the perfect constitution in its composition. In this way, the judgment will be made without an error for both those who have eternal life and those who will have eternal punishment. If some mistakes happen, at the great judgment, those who have been saved might be cast into hell, or those who have failed to be saved may enter heaven. So Father God will conduct the great judgment in a very strict and just manner. Even the things that you did in secret and a word that you spoke without any meaning will be judged, and you will receive the reward or the punishment. That's why we believers should not do anything to cause any punishment, but do the things that will only be rewarded by God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." I pray in the name of the Lord that all you members will please God with the deeds of faith during your life on this earth and receive many rewards on the final judgment day.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. by the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.